Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 42, for Friday, the 11th of November, 2011. I'm Craig Jones, and I am joined by my co-host, Kemslave. Hello, Kemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing this Friday afternoon?
It's a fantastic day. It's Veterans Day. As a state employee, I don't work.
Oh, really? Awesome. So you're just like, what, slumming around the house, playing video games, you know, just living the high life as a state employee?
Amongst other things, yes.
Oh, to be you. Yeah, that's fantastic. So,
Good state job.
Yeah.
It pays decently, good benefits, and you don't have to work many days.
Yeah, isn't that nice? You don't have to work many days. Yeah, that is on the list of options for me that I'm thinking about. That would be a great opportunity. But anyway, this is Technology Friday, so we are going to be talking about issues pertaining to technology. So, Kemslave, you know, Google has really just, you know, leaped the shark, jumped the shark. They have jumped, the shark. Yes, they have really jumped the shark with this one. Google Reader. Wonderful service, Google Reader. You and I have been using it for years. I actually turned you on to it within the first few months of us rooming together in college a few years ago.
Yep.
And it's been indispensable for both of us in terms of consuming news content and quickly and efficiently finding out what's going on in the world. So up until a few months ago, whenever I was on a PC or a laptop, whenever I was on a laptop or a tower PC, I would go to google.com/reader, sign in, and see what was going on. And you, to this very day, do that. So
yes, now it's petering off.
I was gonna ask you about that. So just to give a little bit of background, Google Reader has gone through three or four significant redesigns since it came out in 2006, I believe it was, maybe 2005. It's relatively early. It was one of the first ones, along with Gmail and Google Calendar. And up until this last redesign, it's all been fairly consistent. Blue pastel-y type colors with some yellow pastel-y type colors in there. Very googly. What?
Very easy to look at.
It was very easy to look at. It was soothing. And it was a little bit busy. It was looking a little bit outdated. And you could certainly see why Google would have wanted to clean up the UI just a little bit. And they had been rolling out a very specific, very minimalist UI to their online services for the past year now, starting with Gmail and going to Google Docs and Google Calendar, Google Voice. They have adopted a very Spartan white UI, or I probably shouldn't say UI, but a very Spartan white appearance with a black menu bar at the top, and whatever option you have selected is highlighted in red with a red line, and you have black on white, text. A very Spartan, in some cases a very clean, very sleek look. I like the way
really ugly.
You don't like it at all.
I like the Gmail.
I was gonna say I like the Gmail implementation the most. I think that for email especially, this UI really does a good job of getting out of the way.
And it does allow you to change colors in Gmail.
Oh, in Gmail you can do more than that. You can have a whole new theme. I still haven't changed my my Gmail theme from Shiny, I think it's called. So you have options in Gmail. Unfortunately, you do not have options in Google Reader. And they took this new UI and just plastered it onto Reader without changing it one bit. Email could be thought of as a paradigm where you want to look at content for a significant period of time, but that's not true. You look at email messages for a significant period of time, but you don't necessarily read them all. You organize them, you delete them most often, or archive them. You get information out of them quickly, but you don't often read a lot of content at one sitting in an email web view, or in any view for that matter. But Google Reader, obviously, it has Reader in the name, so obviously it's going to be a little bit more focused on reading. And when you have news stories, it's often nice to know what's going on. So you have this sparse white background with black text. It's very... you can tell Google wanted to try and get out of the way, but they got too much out of the way, so that it's an overwhelming sensation seeing all this white shining up into your eyes. And this black text that is too crisp. Too in your face, and it's an unpleasant and, I dare say, probably a dangerous thing to do, to read that for a long period of time. Now, you have some very strong opinions about this, and I don't, because I am using an application on my Mac laptop called Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, which is fantastic. But you still use the web view, so you've had to contend with this update in ways that I have not. So I want to hear your detailed analysis. Go.
Well, they did get rid of, the share. But, because you could, click and say share, and you, all your friends who are also subscribed to you through Google Reader could read it. While other people are angry about that, it's really useless. That was pretty useless, especially as, for some reason, me and you sort of, by some weird reason, got disconnected through that, and we couldn't figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah, that was janky from the beginning. That was never a really well-implemented thing to begin with. Go on.
But I really miss, the color. This white, really bright white, and really dark, crisp letter, lettering, it sort of really just sort of hurts my eyeballs. So I've been looking for a better a way to consume my feeds, and the only thing I've been able to find that looks good is Feed Demon, and that doesn't really look good. It actually looks probably worse than Google Reader, so.
Yeah, Feed Demon has been for years now the preeminent client for Windows to sync with Google Reader and consume content that way. But like you said, it's still not very good, and it had been up until now a no brainer to try and use the web view if at all possible. On the Mac, it's a little bit better, because on iOS, by the way, ChemSlave and I both have iPhones, so we have access to the iOS ecosystem, and both of us use an application called Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, and it is a beautiful, quick, clean interface that syncs with the Google Reader, and it is just an absolute dream to use. I highly recommend it for those of you with an iOS device. R-E-E-D-E-R. It's $2.99 in the App Store. I didn't mean for that to become a plug, by the way. I'm sorry. I have.
That was not an app. Or an ad.
That was not an ad. We do not take ads. And I have not been in contact with the developer. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. And I just love that so much. It is fantastic. Anyway, that same developer came out with a desktop application named, again, Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, $10 on the Mac App Store. By the way, best $10 you'll ever spend. I'm joking. But it is great. Again, it's a very good RSS reader, and it's clean, it's nice, it's simple, it's powerful. None of the things that the new Google Reader are. So I am actually pretty fortunate. I don't have to deal with that web view at all. Now, ChemSlave, on the other hand, and millions of other people, who are at least hundreds of thousands, are not so fortunate. Google Reader had never been that popular a service. It had never attained the wide use that Gmail and Google Calendar had attained. But it was a really important service for a lot of people. And it's been castrated. The sharing functionality like ChemSlave doesn't affect me too much. Truth be told, ChemSlave was my only friend on Reader, which is a shame. but also, it wasn't easy to find friends in the old format. And now they've gone to Google Plus, and I don't mind that. I think Google Plus is a much more thoughtful and powerful implementation of what a social ecosystem should have been. And I think Google Reader's social network, and that's basically what it was. It was a bad social network. I think it was only a matter of time before they incorporated Google Plus. Now, they were too quick to get rid of your pre-existing friends. There was no way to migrate those friends to Google Plus. There was no way to keep your existing relationships. And people saw that as far too heavy-handed, and I absolutely agree. They were far too heavy-handed in terms of getting rid of the old sharing functionality, and they should have been more conscious of their customers' concerns. But anyway, so on a scale of 1 to 10, ChemSlave, what would you grade the new redesign to be?
1 to 10, 1.
Whoa! Wow! I wouldn't go that far. I'd give it like a 3. Woo. Wow, that's tough. Wow,
it's making me think of virtualizing Mac and buying Reader.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that so much as you probably could. What you could do is I'm trying to think. There has to be. No, I guess there is. I'm
it's
trying
probably
to think.
Going to be a Grease Monkey script somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but Grease Monkey scripts are getting less and less useful as HTML5 increases. It's just not the same. You're going to get to the point where it's not going to be useful for you anymore.
See, what pisses me off that there was a like better Gmail like
yeah, Gina Trapani made that.
But it has been updated since Tuesday, December 1st, 2009.
Yeah, I know. That's the bad thing about Firefox and Chrome and Safari to an extent with extensions. You are reliant on a third-party developer to update that. And if they don't, you're out of luck. I'm willing to bet you cannot even install that extension in the new version of Firefox, can you?
Let's see, I just clicked install, restarting my browser now.
Oh, okay, well then you can.
It doesn't mean it will be available. Or maybe it does.
Take a look. See if it did anything. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't do anything. Grease Monkey has really been handicapped in the past few years. It's not as powerful as it once was.
Yep. Still looks fugly. And it wouldn't do much of anything anyways.
No, you're right. It gave, if memory serves, it gave you more options in terms of coloring the stars and how you can view labels as folders and things like that. Very, very simple things that really are not applicable to the new redesign. So that's that for Google Reader. It's a shame. It's unfortunate. People liked that a lot. And I think Google is going to end up losing a lot of people to competing services. The problem is, it's not a whole lot of competition to Google Reader. There used to be, what was that? I think FeedDemon used to sync with it, actually.
It still does.
Not Google, no, I'm not talking about Google Reader. I'm talking about, NetNewsWire. Do you know about that?
Very just that I've heard about it.
NetNewsWire is an application on OS X and iOS devices, and it also used to have a syncing service in direct competition to Google Reader. The exception is it did not offer a web view. But in the face of stiff competition from Google Reader, they had to close that down. And they were by far and away the most popular alternative to Google Reader. So there's not a lot of options anymore, unfortunately. You have more options on the app ecosystems of iOS and Android. But in terms of PCs and Macs, you don't have a whole lot of options, unfortunately. It's just the state of the technology industry today. Now, talk about iPhones, ChemSlave. Did you know that 1 in 10 Americans have some form of an iPhone now?
No, but that's not very shocking.
That's amazing.
They're just awesome devices.
That is amazing. It's... As an individual hardware maker, with only a handful of phones being made, to have over 10% of all Americans, of all cell phones, not smartphones, but all cell phones, be iPhones, that is astonishing. And that, the prediction has always been Apple being, overtaken by Android, just like they were by Windows. And I really think that's a specious argument. A very different time, very different ecosystem. Apple's being much more aggressive. They are coming from a big position of strength. And very different situations, in my opinion. And I think the results bear it out. They are also responsible for 52% of industry profits. 52%. One company with only a couple of phones being supported, being actively made, accounting for 52% of the whole cell phone industry's annual profits. Can you believe that? Well, quarterly. That's quarterly. Can you believe that? That is astonishing.
They're in trouble, Craig.
Oh, God, don't you believe
it? It's all about Android.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, Android is making so much money that Microsoft is making more money from Android than Google.
What?
Yeah. Because Microsoft is suing the pants off everybody, or at least threatening to, and making device manufacturers such as Samsung, LG, and others sign patent cross-licensing agreements that would grant Microsoft about $5 per handset sold. So they've made over $500 million in just this past year alone from Android handset sales, far eclipsing the money they've made in profit from their own Windows Phone 7 devices. Now, how screwed up...
At least they're making money.
At least they're making money. Yeah, but how screwed up is that? That just shows you how incredible Apple really is in terms of how they've been able to position themselves economically in this market. It's just incredible. Incredible. You know, staying with Apple, Siri, the voice assistant in the iPhone 4S, it's been having a few bad days. Siri has been...
I've heard about that.
Yeah, Siri has gone home. Not been too pleased with its master, and you know, leaving us in the lurch for about 3 days in a row last week.
Well, people are asking it stupid questions, like to tell them story and what Siri is wearing and stuff like that. So it's not shocking.
Yeah, it's say how to bury a dead body and show me where the drugs are. Things like that. So it's not surprising that Siri said, fuck this, I'm off for 3 days. But, Apple has had some issues with reliability with Siri. Now, it's in beta. They were very quick to say that publicly, which is odd for them, I might add, too. They don't often do betas, at least not this high profile. But still, they've released it, and millions of people have bought the 4S, basically only because of Siri. That's one of the only distinctive features of the 4S. To have this go down, and for such a long period of time, it wasn't 3 whole days, it was sporadic, but it was a lot of time down over 3 days. That is troublesome, and Apple needs to be more transparent about that. John Gruber on Daring Fireball had a great little nugget that in the iCloud status page, if you go to iCloud.com, there's going to be a status page telling you what services are up and down. Apple should just add Siri to that list, so that if you have an issue, you can go and consult that list and see if it's their fault before you start trying to troubleshoot your end.
So, well, Craig, you've been using Siri and stuff. How often do you actually use it?
I use it a lot less than I thought I would. In fact, I haven't used it for a serious thing. Oh, no, sorry. No pun intended. I haven't used it for a serious thing and since like a week after I got the phone. Which is a shame, wow. Because I know I'm not making use of the functionality that I should be, because you can by voice set an alarm, change an alarm time, make calendar appointments, things like that, and it could be in some cases quicker. And it's fantastic when you remind yourself of something. It can ping you when you come home or when you leave for work, you know, things like that. The problem is that I really think, while all this functionality is behind the terrible battery life that the iPhone 4S is receiving. Just terrible. The iPhone 4S is getting the worst battery life of any iPhone Apple has ever made. And by that, I am also including the original iPhone, which did not get great battery life. It's atrocious. Within an hour, with the screen off and with nothing playing or anything, it'll go down 10%. If you have the screen on, you can just watch the battery percentage go down. If I don't have that thing plugged in all the time, I wouldn't be able to go through even a fourth of the day without it dying on me.
Ouch.
It's unfortunate. Now, I am not in a position where I am without power for so long that that's an issue. So really, my overall day-to-day experience with the phone is not that changed. But a lot of people rely on these devices to be, you know, running, you know, 8-10 hours a day before they come home and charge it. And this just can't do it. It just can't. In fact, I went to a website, which I will not name, just because I don't want people to start thinking I am doing ads, because I'm not. But a very great website, I love it, where you can get cheap cables and other devices, accessories. And I bought 2 external batteries for the iPhone. Just because of this. Now, it's not those case ones. It's a universal USB universal battery that I could use on any device that takes USB.
You should just go in full color and just gotten the case battery.
Well, I didn't want that because I wanted to be able to use this when I got an iPhone 5 or if I got an Android phone or if I wanted to, you know, I wanted to have freedom.
You get an Android phone.
No, I wouldn't. I have a Nexus 1 right now, but I would never get an Android phone as my primary phone. But still, I did want to get something that would provide me some freedom of movement if I so chose. If only for the fact that you can predict what Apple's going to do next with their iPhone. And it's very likely that the iPhone 5, when it is released next year, is going to be a drastic redesign. And I can't have cases, expensive battery cases, that are not made for it. I just can't do it. I can't sell those. That wouldn't be possible to sell. So I'd be out a lot of money. So I think these, they're very light, very small, about the size of my palm, not including any digits. Less than, actually. A lot less than. I like these a lot. I'll show you sometime. I can't show the audience, however. I'm sorry. So anyway, yeah, terrible battery life. Apple was releasing a fix for that, however, supposedly. I haven't been brave enough to install the betas, although I do have a developer account. But I just... there were some activation issues with the first beta. They released a second beta the day after the first one to fix those activation issues. Like, literally, people were not able to connect to the wireless network because of that.
That's just horrible.
That is horrible. So, you know, Apple needs to be careful. They can't have too many faux pas after Steve Jobs died. Because, you know, they've got to still look like they have their mojo. And if they're having technical issue after technical issue after technical issue, whether correct or not, it's going to look like they've lost their mojo. They've got to be careful. I need to say they've really got to be careful. Along those same lines, their security chief at Apple resigned after he basically busted down somebody's door looking for a prototype iPhone 4S. He evidently was a little bit too heavy-handed, and he was asked to resign. Not much to say about that, but geez. Oh, these people. Apple is a great company, but sometimes they can be just a little bit arrogant, and it comes back to bite them in the butt sometimes. All right. What else? Chem Slave, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Well, we're being if those of us who use Twitter and Facebook, well, the CIA is monitoring everything you say and do.
They've been doing that for 60 years.
Yes, but now we know that it's proof.
Now the situation in America has gotten to such an extreme that the CIA and the FBI know that none of us give a shit. And so that they can just be blatant about it. It's a lot less time, a lot less money, a lot less energy to just tell the truth and say that we have no privacy anymore.
And most people will say, well,
most people,
you have nothing to hide. And
that's right. Most people will be like, oh, wow, yay. They're protecting us. Yay. I feel safer now that the CIA knows that I just went to see a movie and I hated it. Or that, you know, I don't like one of Obama's policies, which, by the way, will put me automatically on a terror watch list, I'm sure. I
changed my relationship status to it's complicated.
Uh-oh. Well.
Not a true story.
Well, there have been times that both of us could have changed our relationship status to it's a shit ton of complicated.
Yep.
Oh, God. All right. So, you know what? I've kind of glossed over something about Apple and about Tim Cook, but it's a stupid story. I don't even want to mention it. I shouldn't have even brought it up again. But Samsung. You know, Samsung has balls. You know that?
What are they doing now?
I've got to hand it to Samsung. They really do have balls. Now, Samsung, you might recall a few weeks ago, it was announced that it was possible if you fudge the numbers the right way, that Samsung killed Apple in the third quarter of 2011 in terms of shipping smartphones. Again, you need to look at specific studies and count numbers in a specific kind of way to get there. But Samsung did very well, but unfortunately, they just don't get any profit. So Apple still has all that profit. So you know that's one thing. But Samsung is engaged in a bitter, bitter legal fight with Apple in terms of patents and copyright infringement. Apple claims that Samsung is ripping off the iPad and the iPhone and basically copying it. And in some cases, they have very good points. There was one famous case a few months ago that a Samsung lawyer from standing 10 feet away from an iPad and a Galaxy Tab wasn't able to tell the difference. this was a little exercise done in court. And obviously not what you want to have happen if you're trying to defend against copyright infringement against Apple. Anyway, now Samsung is just upping the ante and in a big way, asking to see the base source code for the iPhone 4S. Now, the source code is the copyrighted and secret base for the iPhone OS operating system. This source code is how the operating system was made. This is not necessarily the programming language. This is not necessarily APIs. This isn't. This is like literally the ones and the zeros that go into making an iPhone tick. It is as fundamental as you can get. The source code is as close to a soul as a software program gets. And Samsung has asked to see the iPhone 4S source code. They're claiming that Apple is infringing upon Samsung patents, just as Apple is claiming that Samsung is infringing upon Apple patents. Now, the thing is, Samsung has been a lot less successful in court, and they have been, Apple's been winning injunction after injunction after injunction against Samsung. Well, Samsung has had very little to show for itself. It won this default small little ruling like a week ago. It was blown out of proportion. It looked like for a second that Samsung had blocked all Apple sales in Germany, but it was not true. It was sloppy reporting, and I don't want to get into that. That's a boring subject. But Samsung basically hasn't been doing well. They've been batting out at almost every hit. So they actually have the balls to go and ask for the source code is just amazing. They will never get it. They will absolutely never get it. There is not a chance in hell that they will get this source code. That being said, it is nice to see companies try to stand up to the big giants like Microsoft, Apple, and Google. It's nice to see. I don't know. I don't fault Samsung too much. I think it's bullshit. They will never get the source code, nor should they. But I don't mind them asking. Do you have any thoughts on that?
They even expected.
Oh no, they don't.
It's just another tactic, just to see that hey, we're fighting.
Apple had asked like over the summertime to see new models of the Samsung phones, and they got that permission. And then Samsung came back and asked to see the new iPhone and the new iPad. Obviously, they didn't get that. So it's just been a bad run of luck for Samsung. But they just keep plugging along there. So you know, you gotta give them credit for that. All right. So now we mentioned Google in terms of Google Reader, but you know, I think it's pretty safe to end. You know, I did want to mention we have been talking a lot over the past month about the passing of Steve Jobs, and it was a big deal. It is a big deal, and it will continue to be a big deal for as long as this generation is alive. Steve Jobs is possibly one of the most transformative people in modern American and world history. But
that was Obama.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah, transformative. Yeah, I should be careful of how I phrase things, because, yeah, good catch there. But somebody who people don't hear a whole lot about, but, you know, arguably had at least the influence that Steve Jobs had in the early 80s, passed away this past week, the former IBM CEO, John Opel. For many of you probably are not familiar with John Opel. He was the CEO of IBM from 1981 till 1985, and he oversaw the development of the first IBM PC, which was, up until when IBM got out of the PC market, the gold standard for PCs. That was the PC. And any other device company that made computers made IBM-compatible PCs, meaning programs that would be able to run on an IBM PC. It was just the gold standard. IBM was the Apple of the PC market. When Apple faded into irrelevancy in the late 80s, early 90s, IBM was just you know, killing it. And it was because of John Opel. IBM was a mainframe server company, had little to no presence in the consumer market. And Opel saw the success that Apple and some smaller companies like Commodore had, and Atari. And he said, you know, this is an important market. It's going to be important. It's going to change the world. And we need to be at the forefront of this. And so they released the IBM PC. It was a piece of shit. It was terrible. The Macintosh had just been released a few months before then, and it wasn't even close. The IBM PC was just terrible. Awful. But it was the beginning of an iterative process which saw IBM eclipse Apple and go on to help Microsoft establish market dominance. And John Opel and his foresight really shaped a whole generation of technology. He passed away at the age of 86 this past week, and I just wanted to take a minute to call that out. He was a very important man, and in the recent history of IBM, they haven't had a whole lot of good corporate governance, and it's always good to reflect back on a successful executive, and John Opel was a successful executive. Anyway, so to end, I did want to talk about Google again. We opened with Google, and we will close with Google. ChemSlave, I don't know if you had time to get this, but Google released their much-anticipated native Gmail application for iOS. It's compatible with both iPhone and iPod Touch, as well as iPad. And they released...
I have the chance.
And there's a reason why you didn't, because it was released for the grand total of 1.5 hours before they had to pull it again. Because it was such a piece of shit. Now, I bought that thing as soon as it came out. Well, I didn't buy it. It was free. It was free. So
bought it?
No, I didn't buy it. That would have been a mistake on my part. That would have been me being scammed or not being stupid. No, I downloaded it almost the second it came out. So I got it. And like thousands of other people, when I turn it on, I see this insane message. As a matter of fact, I have it right here. I'll open up Gmail again, and I will take a look. And here I am. I'm getting ready to tap on Gmail. Let's take a look here.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Notification error. No valid, quote, APS-environment, unquote, entitlement string found for application. Oh, dear.
What the hell does that mean, Craig?
Oh, dear. Yeah, so that's not, that's not good. So you can dismiss that message, and you can go into the application, but unfortunately, the application is nothing but a view for, the website. It's nothing but a wrapper with a malfunctioning. I'm sorry. I got distracted for a second. I'm getting myself back on target. It's got a terrible notification system. But by terrible means it doesn't work at all. It's supposed to have push notifications for emails. Like, if you get an email, with this application installed, you're supposed to get a notification immediately when you get an email. Unfortunately, that does not work. You get no notification. It's not delayed. You just don't get it at all. So, that's bad. And also, I haven't heard anybody talk about this, but they directly ripped off Facebook. I haven't heard anybody mention this, but they ripped off Facebook. Do you have the new Facebook? Do you have the Facebook app for iOS?
No. The only way I get my Facebook stuff is by using, IntelliScreen X.
Oh, okay. The new Facebook has this panel design that you can go into the menu and it pops up from the left and you can go through a list. It's a grayish black list with white text, and it looks very nice. I like the UI. Some people criticized it, but I like it. Anyway, Google copied that directly. You hit a menu thing and it pops up to the left. It's got the same size buttons, same typeset, same everything. It's I can't believe that nobody has called out Google, because they really have copied Facebook. I don't know if Facebook copied somebody else. I haven't seen this UI before Facebook. Maybe Facebook copied somebody as well. But I think this UI from Google is heavily inspired by Facebook. And for them, it doesn't work out too well, because none of these options really work. I mean, you can go into labels and folders and all that, but there's really, you can do all this in the native iPhone application as well, the native email application. So I don't really get the point of this application, of the Google Gmail application. Unlike Android, which is a totally native experience, this is just a view to the website, which is okay. I mean, it's nice. The Google Gmail website on iPhone and Android looks very nice. But it's not native. It's as slow as a website is. It's just not good. It's terrible, and Google has always done terrible iOS applications, and it looks like they're not going to change anytime soon.
Hey, Craig, stop downloading the porn. See, your connection is like going in and out.
Is it really? Oh dear, let's take a look here. I don't have anything that should be doing that. And I checked before we started, and I had my same 6.5 megabyte down. So and same almost almost 8 kilobyte up, 800 kilobyte I should say. So we should be good. You know, I'm getting close to the end of the show anyway. I went on a little bit too long about the Gmail, actually. I'm just so disgusted by it. It's terrible. Awful. Just awful. So I encourage you all, when it comes back out, to download it again. See how they copied Facebook, for one thing. And then delete it, because it's almost certainly still going to be bad.
Yeah, all right. Even downloading it, you're giving them numbers that they should not have.
That's right. Well, it's not really that important for them. They're already pretty big. But, you know, yeah, you're right. Alright, so do we have anything else before we sign off for the week?
Nope.
Well, if you, you being the audience, if you liked what we said, or if you disliked what we said, if you want to offer criticism or compliment, email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. I'll say that again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Go to our show notes at justgettingbypodcast.com to see the program, download the program, find links to subscribe to us on iTunes. By the way, please subscribe to us on iTunes. And also find a link to the Delicious page that corresponds to this specific episode, and you'll see a lot of links, some of which we didn't get to. All right, so Chem Slave has been a good week, and I will talk to you on Monday.
Yep, see you then.